Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here. And Lord, not just as a matter of phraseology that, it's a good place to be, but Lord, as an aged person, we're just so thankful to have life, Lord, and to be able to speak to your people today, the things that are within our heart and that's on our heart. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would be with us and help us to deliver your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, it's not my message, it's his message, but we do have questions and answers this morning from the ministers, and we'll just get right to it. The quotation for question number one is, how can I overcome? Brother Bram says, sooner or later, we're going to have to give each other up, but that won't hurt the rapture now. See, no, they come first then. Them are privileged that's going on. So Brother Don is a privileged person. They come first. See, we which are alive and remained to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up together. Now, this is one quote. Now, he says, we have quote number two from Going Beyond the Camp. Oh my, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, appear to many. And all at once, you happen to stand and look, and well, there's my brother, or there's a brother. And you know it ain't long, in a few minutes, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and together with them be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? In the first two quotes, the prophet's showing that our changes come after seeing the dead being raised up. But consider what he stated in the following quote, where he's showing that we see the resurrected after being changed. Okay, now this is a question. So the quote is, and then we'll all get together, and when we begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden there'll be a sweep go over us and you're changed. You're turned back to like Abraham, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought, and you can see those then that you already resurrected, that are already resurrected, okay? So the question is, how can you line up the first two quotes with the third one? Because it appears you see him after, and in the first two quotes, you see him before. In the first two quotes, he definitely says we get together, and we see ones in our love, and we see our loved ones in the midst. But in the last one, he says after we get together. So how do you know you have gotten together? Then he tells us how that change will come. He says then you can see them who are already resurrected. So seeing them is not the catalyst for the change. But the change makes you understand who it is that you are already gathered with. Notice, again, after we get together. See, he says, first of all, he says let me just go back to his quote here. Okay, and then we'll all get together. So think about that. How are we going to know we're getting together? Huh? How do you know that you're getting together? Maybe you won't see them with your eyes, but you surely feel their presence, okay? Because he says, and then we'll all get together, and when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed, all right? So it's not the seeing them that brings on our change. It's the sweep that comes over us that brings our change, okay? So the question I answered was, it does not look like he is saying differently to me. It all depends on how you are reading what he's saying here. In the first two quotes, he definitely says we get together and we see our loved ones in intermiss. But in the last one, he says after we get together. So how do you know that you've gotten together? Because, it's a statement, okay? After we get together. Well, how are you going to know that? All right? So the seeing them is not the catalyst for the change. but the change makes you understand who it is that you are already gathered together with. For Mother's Day, Brother Bam says, and as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known. So the light, then as it spreads out, now we're going to know who it is, okay? And we'll remember our acquaintances and the ones that's been there. And there'll be many there that we didn't even think would be there. So you're looking for Charlie? You know, I could say this. You don't have to look at him to know his presence, all right? You've lived how many years together? 53 years together. You ought to know when you're sleeping with the right man. In other words, you know, there's something about the person that you know them, even without seeing them, okay? For you know it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their reaction, their actions toward it, will probably be there. What a day that will be. So that gives you hope. And then the seeds that we sowed, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are. They brought forth precious fruits and we'll see them on that day. So that kind of tells you that the legalist who thinks that if you don't receive the message just exactly as they receive it, that they're lost. He's saying, hey, there's going to be people we didn't understand our testimony on them, okay? And again, from the same sermon, paragraph 86, as that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around in the great circle, we'll be getting a greater and greater, it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as a song saying, listen to the words of the song, and I shall see Jesus at last. All right? Remember, there's a quote where Brother Bram says, when we get together, we see one another, and we see those that have gone before, and we recognize all those who made it. He said, now what a great rejoicing when we see Jesus. He says, Jesus doesn't come until we've gotten out of our system all the hoopla from family that's gone on, okay, and loved ones. As that great light begins to spread all, as we begin to look around and the great circle will be getting and greater and greater, is all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last. He will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. Oh, his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'll be like him. He'll be more of a relative to us than he is now. In other words, you call him brother, right? But you'll see him as brother. He'll be, you'll recognize him more as a relative to us than he is now. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in the mortal bodies. Then we'll have a body like his glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when we see what the presence of his being has done to us, change us. So, see, presence of the body, then change, right? Change us, the old back young, all the deformed straightened out. Oh, we'll understand then why his power healed us. So it's not being able to, someday the resurrection takes place and you look around and see all these people, then you get your change. No, you get your change and you see them. All right? Now you might be aware that they're in a dimension just outside your curtain, so to speak, but you won't see them until you get your change. The question that's been in my mind, how can he do it? What would do this? Somehow, mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds, will it be this? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle, unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. You know what that's going to happen? You know what's going to untie everything for you? Is when God brings to pass his word. In other words, when God manifests his word, he interprets it. Then the question is over. All right? So as I said, the catalyst is not seeing them that have passed on before us. Otherwise, the first half of the resurrection that was witnessed by 500 in the book of Acts would have gotten their change by seeing the resurrected ones. But the light of his glorious presence is the catalyst. Okay? Remember, 500 witnesses to the resurrection 2,000 years ago. That didn't change them. So we get our change when his sweep comes over us, his presence. We come into his presence. I know several people that actually walked into the presence of Brother Branham when the angel of the Lord was standing there. And they said, about 8 feet from Brother Branham's body stood the angel of the Lord. And you could actually feel that presence so strong that they remember it today. And that's 50 some years ago. Actually, it's more than that. It's about 70 years ago. Or 60 some years ago. So we're looking for just the fulfillment of God's word. And scripture for question number two. In Who is This Melchizedek, series 102, Matthew 27:52 said, and the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Okay? Now notice that Jesus cried with a loud voice and the graves opened and the saints who slept arose. But notice they did not come forth as resurrected beings until he came forth. So the order of the resurrection is a very important thing. Now he's quoting a sermon that I preached, okay? So the question to number two is, who will be the first fruits in the Omega ministry and how? And the answer is from the sermon, not the book. He said, from his sermon, not the book of Seven Church Ages, preached in 1954, he said, behold, he comes with clouds. Now, let me just stop just a moment. A cloud doesn't mean that he's coming on a big thunderhead, as Mama, bless her heart, she's sitting here somewhere. I remember her voice. She used to sit and tell me, he's coming on a great big cloud going to raise up someday, and God's going to come on it. Now, the cloud that he's coming in, if we just had the time to get this back and get the real background of the whole thing. Now, the cloud he's coming on is not a cloud like a thunderhead. That is not a thunderhead. That was 30 miles high. There's no moisture to make a cloud 30 miles high. There's no oxygen. There's no H2O, no oxygen to make that cloud. Yet the naysayers will look at another cloud that was only 4 miles up, and they'll say, "Oh, that was a missile." So the cloud was a missile. That was two clouds. There's always twins, Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob. There's always twins. Okay, even Christ, the tree of life, and the devil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, so there's always twins. Jesus and Judas, everything else. All right. So he says. But it's a cloud of glory he's coming in. See, now, when Jesus was overshadowed by God on Mount Transfiguration, clouds overshadowed him and his raiment, see? And when Elijah would come down, a cloud come down and received him up. Not a cloud of glory, a thunderhead, but a cloud of glory. His great glorious presence will strike the earth. He cometh with clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds. There'll be wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and the resurrection of the saints shall come. Now, when I looked at that picture, and from Oregon, Brother Bill Caldwell, had gone down in 1967, I think it was, and he came in the message and he saw the cloud. So he went down and talked to Dr. McDonald, who did all the research on it. And Dr. McDonald also said there's two clouds, okay, in his studies. But the naysayers don't want to look at that because they're the other side of the twin recipe, okay? So, but anyway, so he went down. He got an original copy. You know, it was an original. So it wasn't, you know, like a print after print after print after print and everything's faded out. He got an original, original print. And he took a magnifying glass to it, just felt led to, And you could see about a million or more faces in the cloud. Now, he happened to send that. He rolled it up, put it in a scroll, and sent it to Brother Vail. And Brother Vail was looking at it, and I was sitting at the table, and he said, look, he had his, you know how, remember he had his old magnifying glass there? Well, anyway, so he was looking at it, and he said, look, you know, do you see anything? I said, yeah, I see a lot of faces. He said, that's exactly. And so, see, so when wave after wave of his glory will come across the earth, and he says it's a cloud of glory, and of course there was faces in the glory. In fact, Brother Bram said, Brother Hick, I saw you in there. So that blessed Holy Spirit that lived in their hearts, and they're dried with their corpses laying there. You know how an old corpse is dried out. And the pierced veins over their cheeks and things like that. And they're placed back in the graveyard. But a great wave of that same Spirit, and a wave after wave, he that was last will be first. He that was first will be last. I'm kind of see it that way. That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me or after me. Neither will you. I'll know those in the generation with me. Every generation will come successfully right as it went down. They which were last, that's the Omega. Sure, that's me, see? I'll know my people the next time my dad and his people and my grandfather and his people on down like that, wave after wave after wave after wave. So each generation that went down comes up, but the last one comes up first, then the father, then the grandfather, then the great-grandfather, you know, all the way back to the garden, okay? And the saints will rise from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. That makes the old people feel young again, yes. Now notice closely, for I come to you in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. No matter how far back they died, they'll see him. Now, from quotations, and how can you, no matter how far back you died, how can you see him? Now just think about that, because the brother read a couple quotes where Brother Brad said, we'll see him, you know, we'll see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. How are you going to see him? How are these people that are died in the grave going to see him? Because it's another dimension. We're talking about a dimensional thing here. Now, question and answers for number three. He says, what you are here, get this in your mind now. I'm going to close. But what you are here is a sign that you are something else somewhere. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is a perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. So question number three, what did he mean by there is a perfection and that perfection is not in this life? When it is written in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, we could go on with hundreds of scriptures. You know, it's not him that runneth or him that willeth, but God that showeth mercy, right? And it's nothing we have done. It's what he's done for us. So we can't look at this, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, as if it's something you can do, but it's something he has done. All right? So answer to question three. There is no perfection this side of the resurrection as long as we live in the body of this death. But perfection is as God knew us in his mind before the foundations of the world. And that could only come through a perfect once for all sacrifice. So when God looks down at the Christian who is alive in Christ and has died to himself and is raised in newness of life, he looks through the blood of his Son and he sees you as perfect as he saw his Son. If you walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, the pillar of fire is not God. The pillar of fire is the clothing that God wore. He comes down wearing a garment of light, right? And also it says his garments as a cloud. So if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Right? That was Jesus' commandment. All right? Be therefore perfect as Father in heaven is perfect. They say nobody can be perfect. The Bible said there is none perfect. There's your contradiction. Well, is it? All right, you cannot be perfect in yourself. If you're trusting in what you have done, you are still lost. So be perfect, even just as perfect as God is perfect. Now, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Therefore, now the fifth chapter and sixth chapter of Hebrews, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Okay? Well, we know we worship a God who is perfect, and we are to be perfect as he is perfect, and the only way is through the perfect word. Then God sees the body of Christ. When he looks down through the body of Christ, he sees you as perfect as he saw the head of that body, which is Christ. Because we're part of the same body. From water separation, at God looking through the blood, he doesn't see you no more as a sinner. Hallelujah. He sees you redeemed. Amen. You're redeemed because he only sees you through Christ. I just wish that we could look at one another as God looks at one another and see you as perfect as God sees you. Now, that's the reason we can be perfect. Not perfect in the sense of sinless. We're perfect in the eyes of God when we're in Christ. That's the reason he said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. So when you look at a person and you say, I know that person is a Christian. All right, they live their life for Christ. They go, you know, they go all over the world. They do things for Christ, right? And then you say, well, you know, but he's not much of a person. I don't like the person. Well, you know what? Forget it. That's not what's saved. It's a soul that's saved. All right? Get your eyes off the flesh. Get your eyes on the God who created us, and we were in him before the foundations of the world. Think of that person as being in what they were before the foundations of the world, because that's the way they're going to be. Well, that's the reason he said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Paul, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, trying to explain the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, could never make the comer unto perfect, because God was looking through animal blood. But now he looks through the blood of his Son, perfection come by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not perfect in your sight. You may not be perfect in my sight. But what about in God's sight? There's where it lays. And if you're born again in the body of Christ, then God looks upon you as perfect as Christ was himself. Amen. Nothing you can do. It's not by any works you can do at all. It's by grace as God given you this offer. And if you've accepted it in the Spirit of God, you are perfect, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, without fault, without blemish, without spot. Isn't that marvelous? And from testimony, he said, not as we are good, but there's none good but God. But God is in the people. What makes them good marks the perfect man. It's God in you that makes it perfect. See? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. See? Be therefore perfect. How can you be perfect? Not in yourself, but in him. He's the one perfect, and if you're in him, you're perfect. God don't look at you then. He looks at him. Well, you say, I'm in him. How are you getting him? By one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body. And then you're in him. When you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into that body, 1 Corinthians 12, is that true? Then in him. Again, from law having a shadow of, those sacrifices which were offered year by year never made the comer unto perfect. Jesus, in St. Matthew Gospel, he said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So how are you going to do it? How can you do it? How can you be as perfect as God is perfect? But that was a commission or a commandment by Jesus Christ to be as perfect as God in heaven is perfect. Then you say, who can be saved? Hold it just a moment. Let's find out how that perfection is made. Now, God back there in the beginning, when he foresaw down through the streak of time, and he knew that they would have to have a remedy to save those which was desiring to be saved. Those who hungered to be there in that realm, he had to make a way to redeem those people back again. Now, I just feel led to stop and pray for Sister Diane. She goes into surgery on Tuesday, and the Holy Spirit's leading me to pray. And we're going to pray that when the doctor comes, that the same thing that happened to another sister will happen with her. And so when the doctor goes to examine her, nothing will be there. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, we're coming as your children, full of this church is full of your children. And we have believers that are connected with us all over the world. And so, Father, we just take this time and lift up our sister Diane. And we just pray, Lord, before the doctor comes with his knife, that, Lord, she would be completely 100% whole. And we're asking this, and we're asking you to manifest your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Just as you did with Sister Mita, we're asking the same thing. And you're not a respecter, a man that you could choose one over the other. You're God. And you're not a liar that you could, not a man that you could lie. So we know that you're God, and your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're coming with the same request as Brother Bram did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. I'm looking forward to hearing a wonderful testimony. The Revelation chapter 4, part 3, a Throne of Mercy. Brother Bram said, all of God's ways is perfect. Therefore, we are imperfect. But he said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can we be? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, to forget our own selves and just live in him. There you are. How precious is it? And from water of separation. God looking through the blood, he doesn't see you no more as a sinner. He sees you redeemed. Amen. You're redeemed because he only sees you through Christ. Now, always, 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 we just went to God in prayer, and God sees us just like he saw his son, Jesus. And God would not withhold a good thing from us. So let's just keep that in mind. That's the reason we can be perfect. Not perfect in the sense of sinlessness. We're perfect in the eyes of God when we're in Christ. That's the reason he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Paul, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, trying to explain the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things, could never make the comer unto perfect. Because God was looking through the animal blood, but now he looks through the blood of his own son. Perfection comes by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not perfect in your sight. You may not be perfect in my sight. But what about in God's sight? That's where it lays. And if you're born again into the body of Christ, then God looks upon you as perfect as Christ was himself. Amen. Nothing you can do. It's not by any works that you can do at all. It's by grace of God, or by grace, God has given you this offer. And you've accepted it in the sight of God. You are perfect, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, without fault, without blemish, without spot. Isn't that marvelous? So question number three. In Hebrews 11:40, we read, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What does he mean by some better thing for us, without us? What is the link between us and them? All right, so the answer to question 3C and D is Paul is talking about the Old Testament saints who could not be perfected through the blood of bulls and goats, but by the once for all sacrifice, perfect sacrifice, God perfected us through forever through Jesus Christ. The better thing is the once for all sacrifice instead of a yearly offering of bulls and goats. The link between us and them is the resurrection in Christ. They have to have this message, you come into the presence of Christ. The quote for number four is, from who is this Melchizedek? 2 Thessalonians tells us so. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Perfect all these types. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into a theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to pick up the redeemed body And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. From whose is Melchizedek but God? Okay. So the question, number four, the theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Is this concerning the resurrection and the tent? And my answer is yes, there will be a change of the body in that little room in the tent during the time of the resurrection. Question 4b. If you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. Is this about the living? If so, is this taking place after you've already been changed? Because it said, if you're here in the air. And the question, the answer to 4b is, of course, we get our change and our theophany, which is the body, which we bypass to come here and try to be tried and tested. And we must have a change of that body to receive it. Paul called it a celestial body, but he said our earthly tabernacle, our earthly body shall be put on the celestial in the resurrection. So we go from one to the other, and the earthly body gets this change. So question 4C, is there a link between these two side events within the tent? Answer, I do not know. I will wait until God brings it to pass. That way he has confirmed it by his word. We shall wait and see. We know there are three events. The Bible says so, and William Branham, prophet of God, says so. The shout, which is a message. The voice, which is the resurrection. And change of the body. That looks like two events, but it's actually part of the resurrection. So that appears to be one event. And the trump of God, which is our call to the wedding supper. So don't ask me to define the, you know, the one event, and we know that there's two things happen, but don't ask me to tell you the timing of those, okay? I just don't know. I'm waiting for it, okay? So question number five. According to some, and of course the trump is a wedding supper, okay? Now, question number five. According to some reports, the United States House of Representatives approved a bill to adopt a definition of anti-Semitism that includes the claim that Jews were involved in the execution of Jesus Christ. Thus, the New Testament would legally become anti-Semitic text. Is this news related to what the prophet said in the message, the vision of Patmos? Well, let's just read the vision of Patmos. The next one, I would like to take a little time to answer. I'm going to read the heading. Three religions begin the translation of the Bible. Washington, October 5th. A team of Catholics, Protestant, and Jewish scholars have begun working on a new translation of the scripture that could be long-awaited canon of the Bible. There are other things here that I would like to study a little bit before making the announcement. In other words, I really don't know yet. And I'm not going to say nothing until I really know. That's what he's saying there. I would like to study a little bit before making the announcement. In other words, you see exactly what we're talking about, which is exactly what the scripture says will happen in these last days, that these things will come together and form an image to the beast exactly. They've made the attempt and they're working on it. Okay, what year was this? This was 1960, okay? And he says, they made the attempt, and they're working on it, and now they have the best opportunity they've ever had to present it, because it's right there in their hands. And for that same reason, I am bringing these prophetic messages, because I believe that they are timely. So my answer to this is there have been a whole lot of Bible translations since 1960. The one that the Catholics and Protestants share is the Jerusalem Bible, and the New Jerusalem Bible. Since it also uses the word Yahweh instead of the word Lord that the King James Version uses, I think 6,800 sometimes, I think they had help with Jewish scholars in writing it also, because they've changed the words. And it talks about I can't even pronounce the Jewish word, but it's tectamogram or something like that. Anyway, they had help with the Jewish, with the Hebrew, okay? So I think this is what he's talking about. But you know what? I wasn't there. I don't know. And I didn't contact the person that wrote the article, so I have no idea. But in 1985, the Catholic English Version translation of the Bible, it's the New Jerusalem Bible, the NJB, is an English translation of the Bible published in 1985 by Darton, Long, and Todd, and less edition and less editions du Cerf, whatever that means, edited by Benedictine scholars, that's Catholic scholars, biblical scholars, Henry Wandsworth, and approved for us in study and personal devotion by members of the Catholic Church, but is used by the Church of England also. So, you see, they did do a translation together. Now, these other translations since 1965 include the following. The New American Standard Bible, the NASB, was published in 1971 with consequent revisions in 1995 and 2020. The New International Version was first published in 1978 with subsequent revisions in 84, 2011, and 2018. The English Translation Version, ESV, was published in 2001. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB, was published in 1999, the New English Translation, NET, was published in 2005. The Common English Bible, CEB, was published in 2011. The Christian Standard Bible, CSB, was published in 2017. Well, there was also, you know, Jimmy Swaggart had his own Bible, study Bible, he called it. He called it the Expositor Bible. And there's also another expositor Bible that was written by Nelson. But in Jimmy Swaggart's, instead of putting his footnotes on the side, he actually incorporates them into Scripture. Which, and then he puts his words in red and everything else in the Bible in black. So, you know, at least we put all of God's word in red, Brother Bram's in blue, and then ours in black. But he just felt he could usurp God, I think, and just... You know, because he actually stated, I saw the sermon, he said that predestination is a lie from the pits of hell. Well, you know, the man, then he knows that he's predestinated to the other side, so to say something like that. Well, now these are, and I shouldn't talk that way, but, you know, let's face it, he did get caught up into a lot of dirty stuff, okay? So these are just a few examples of them. However, no Bible takes into consideration all three religious groups. The Catholic Bible still has 46 books in it, with an additional 7 books which the Protestants do not use. Tobit, Jude, 1 Maccabees, 2 Maccabees, Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, and Barak. Not Obama. The Protestant Bible has 39 books in it, which its Old Testament is the same as the Jewish Bible. This new Bible is called IHRA and was created to quell the anti-Israel protesters on campuses. The new bill, not the new Bible, the new bill is called the IHRA. Unfortunately, like other works of man, the devil will most likely use it to create a stir against Christian preachers who blame the Jews for the murder of Christ. All right. In Canada, they already have a ban on Romans 1, 24, 32. And if you preach it, you can go to jail for hate speech. You know, it talks about they burn in their flesh. Yeah, you can go to jail for that, Canada. That's why, you see, even Brother Vail, the guy who did some stuff for Brother Vail, he couldn't write down everything Brother Vail said because, you know, he's from Canada. So, all right. Romans 1, 24, 32, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And by the way, that bill, IHRA, says anything present and anything in the past. Well, hey, we could send... a whole bunch of people that did blackface to jail, according to their own bill. So they don't realize that they're putting themselves in danger, okay? Because they did that. Oh, that was 20 years ago. The bill doesn't say when it was. It says, period, end of story. If you ever read from the Bible, you can go to jail. Okay, that's just I mean, that's how sick this world has become. For this cause, God gave them up over unto a vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in them that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death. They're going to get stoned, you know, like the Old Testament did, only it'll be 100-pound stones this time. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So I do not know if any of these versions were put out by a group consensus of Catholic, Protestant, and Jewish, but it looks like the Jewish Bible was the closest one to it, because they even had many things changed in the Old Testament that would have been in the Jewish Old Testament. So, but Brother Branham taught us that one word off is Satan's kingdom. And every denominational, based on the base of it being a denomination, has already done that. And Brother Branham taught us that the mark of the beast is denominationalism. Now, from trying to do God a service, he said, now, when I speak of denominations, I'm not meaning for you to be so cruel. And no, I don't mean for you not to go to your church. Go to your church, whatever you're supposed to do, but just don't join up with them organizations, because one day I'll be telling you and prove it by scripture, it is the mark of the beast. And you just remember, it's the mark. Now, there are ministers I know of right in this message who have taken that mark. He said, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. I went to a convention years ago in Panama City, the country of Panama, and I spoke at a minister convention, and there was a minister there whose wife had a lot of operations and stuff like that, and he was bragging about how he had this certain health initiative that he signed up for. So he said, oh, it's really, really good. It doesn't cost much, but, you know, it's for ministers. All right. Well, I thought, okay, I'll check it out. So I checked it out, and they said, well, you've got to fill out and sign this application. And I read the application. It says, and we believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I wouldn't sign it. I just tore the thing up. But these people signed it. I remember when Brother Billy from Congo wanted to come here, and the government said, well, you're not denomination, so he can't come. So Billy said, well, just tell him we're denomination. I said, how can I do that? Well, they're doing it up in Lima. I said, then Lima is going to be responsible, because on the white throne, they're going to have to answer, why did you say you were denomination? Why did you sign this application for health care that says we believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I wouldn't even do that in homeschooling when we homeschool our kids. They say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. It's not just a piece of paper. It's your written signature that's going to be brought up at the White Throne. But just don't join up with them organizations. How do you do that? You sign. All right? Because one day I'll be telling you and prove it by scripture, it's a mark of the beast. You know, they can bring a document in that you have signed into a court of law and say, well, this is evidence that you are lying right now. Because you're saying you never joined up, but this says you did. You don't think the White Throne is going to be like that? So if you ever did join up to anything, you got to renounce it. Take my name off your book. The power of transformation, Brother Barron said, there's always twins. And that's the reason. Don't forget this, little flock. The church in the last days is going to be twins so close that it had deceived the elected. Matthew 24:24. See, the church is going. It's a Pentecostal move. Pentecostal. All these churches in the message that run around the church, they're Pentecostal. It's a Pentecostal move. All right? Brother Brandt said this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost. It's so much like the real thing till it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And a little later on, if I get the chance, I want to explain what, how that the election comes. See, it's going to deceive them because it's almost like the same thing. See, just two fathers, that's the same, that's all. Same mother, same church, same movement, same thing. So it can be right in this message, same movement, same thing, he said. The betting ground is the same, where the word falls, but one of them here, like, is perverted. You understand? Say amen if you do that. If you did see. See, one of them is a perversion because it's the wrong father, which I would prove someday, if God let me, that denomination is the mark of the beast. See, it's the wrong father. He's steering people to an organization instead of the word of God. See, it's the wrong father. It's a Cain move. And from God of this evil age. See now, who is the leader of this modern religious evil age? It's the devil taking that tree of good and evil and placing it out there. Notice, bringing his beautiful church bride to the ecumenical council for a wedding. That's right. His beautiful scientific church with all the degrees that can be gotten, the PhDs out of the Church of Christ and the PhDs out of the Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals and all, bring them with their decorated fineries and big churches all to the ecumenical council. We are one. It'll never be forgiven them a denomination. To wear the brand of denomination is the mark of the beast. We've been through it on here to do it. Flee it, children, flee it. See, great, beautiful church to the ecumenical wedding, wearing his mask, excuse me, not mask, they probably are, wearing his mark in shorts, etc. Sure. Worldly dress, sexy paint, really good disciples of the devil church to the sons of God, marry a good full-born boy into some of those old reprobate things like that. That's right. And from God of this evil age, he said, now notice, his plans to build a super denominational church, the World Council of Churches, see, a super denomination so that all the world will worship him, the beast, under the name of United Christianity. Would you like me to read that in the Bible? Revelation 13:6-8 is a modern Tower of Babel. Don't you remember how that Nimrod, that hypocrite, built this big tower and made all the other cities, little cities, pay tribute to it? Babel and Babel is the same thing. It's just changed its name. And as it comes up, it's Rome, now is Babylon. And the whole world's brought to Babylon, and it's brought in by the World Council of Churches, which will make every one of them bow to her. And you took the mark of the beast, not knowing what you were doing, because those who are elected will hear the word and come out from it. So let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for this word. You just kept us clean. You kept us out of things. And so, Lord, we just pray that we would just give you our all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.